House of Bob is sponsored by Legend 7 Brewing. Based in our hometown of Calgary, Alberta, these guys do a ton to keep us online and keep beers in our fridge. Thanks for listening. Last time on House of Annihilation, the crew of the High Havoc arrive at the ancient ziggurat of Oralunga, only to find another strange adventurer has beat them there. While most of the crew seek out the advice of the ancient spirit that lives within the temple, Rai Van Osbon lets his curiosity get the best of him.
I'm Dan. I'll be playing Liana Servana, the Elf Beastmaster.
Hi, I'm Jake. I'm playing as Cranston Thorne, the Half-Elf Bard.
My name's Alex, and I'll be playing as Horik Jones, the Human Fighter.
I'm Christina, and I'm playing Douglas, the Ganassi Evoker.
And I'm Sean, your Dungeon Master. If you like what you hear, you can support House of Bob and help us grow by reviewing us on iTunes, buying merch from our Etsy store, or even just telling your friends about us. Roll on! Rain lashes the decks of the High Havoc as the crew rushes to carry out the orders of the shouting and growling Captain Darg Vetterig. The ship rocks violently as wave after wave smash into its side. Cranston stumbles as he rushes across the deck, a tangle of ropes spilling from his arms.
Get up, you slimy bastard! We need every hand!
Darg bellows from the helm. Suddenly there's a loud snap and cracking noise as the netting holding a stack of barrels breaks under the strain of the pitching ship. Cranston, already off his feet from the fall, now finds himself directly in the path of the careening barrels. A shout pierces the air above him, and a flash of red and brown streaks past. It's Rai, swinging from the ring like a trapeze artist, grabs Crampton's collar with one hand and pulls the unlucky pirate out from the path. The barrels crash into the railing, breaking through the sturdy wood and falling into the roiling ocean. Rai helps Cranston to his feet and turns to climb back into the rigging. Cranston shouts through the rain, "Thanks!" Rai grabs the rigging, turns back, and with a smug grin says, "You're welcome." You guys are still inside the temple of Oralunga, face to face with the Naga Sajanabaza.
What's a Naga again?
A Naga is a nature spirit, but takes the form of a snake, sometimes with a human face.
She was pretty much a giant snake, though, when we saw her last.
Yeah, we had to deal with some snakes. Did we actually ask her some questions? I don't remember.
We did, yeah.
What did we learn?
She told us about Rasnasi, is it?
Rasnasi.
Rasnasi. It was like the... I wrote it all down. Rasnasi, the Oathbreaker. He led that undead army. We saw some of the zombies with the blue triangles on his forehead, and they belonged to him. He did some weird ritual at Omu and became the Night Serpent. I don't know what that means, but that's what she told us. He's in some way related to the Soulmonger.
Maybe cousins?
Maybe cousins.
Maybe cousins with the Soulmonger. It's a big trailer park situation.
Cousins, yeah. Lovers, same thing.
It's a small island.
Yeah, she also told us about the Epsilon Sphere, which was the Amaze Orb. Apparently it appears like every 100 years and a chosen hero can wield it and become mighty and powerful.
Wait, we have that?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, we found that in the...
We found it ages ago.
You just never knew what it was.
In the weird statue.
Was that the weird maze thing that we had to...
Yeah, the Amaze Orb.
Yeah.
I assume that Ferul is the chosen hero.
right, he was the
only one who got it to work.
Didn't we all get it to work? I thought we, like, took turns.
I think we all took
credit. He did it first.
Yeah, he solved it anyway.
He was the first one to solve it. You found that the trick was to actually try and solve the maze on it.
The trick is to empty your mind so there's no...
I mean, he is bound to do it.
We also have the crane cube that Dard stole from the island.
Right.
And that's supposedly a cube of the trickster god. And there's supposed to be 9 of them.
A lot of shapes.
Yeah.
Why? What would they do for us if we collected all of them?
I don't remember if we found that out or not.
Is it kind of like Dragon Balls?
Probably, yeah.
It's probably exactly like Dragon Balls, but cubes instead.
Right. We get one wish from the trickster god.
She told you that Omu was abandoned by the god of Tau about 200 years ago. And in his absence, 9 primal spirits took up residence in Omu. And they are now known as the 9 trickster gods. And the one that you have is a symbol of Papazotl the Ible.
Yeah, what's his shtick?
9 is too many trickster gods.
Do we know about him? Do we do like a history check on
you
him?
You don't. Basically, what you know about the trickster gods are from Sajanabaza.
This is the first time we're hearing about it.
Because, basically nobody has been that deep into the jungle in the past 100 years.
Right.
We should send a letter back to our captain. Maybe he knows some more stuff. He's the one who found it.
So. Yeah, I don't know.
If we need more flying monkeys.
Yeah, next time we have a flying monkey, we can certainly try. That wouldn't get our hopes up for Dirk knowing anything.
Do we have anything else to ask the Naga?
We also asked her about how to get to the pyramid with the serpent on the map.
That was that Needle's Bones?
No. Needle's Bones is where Gondolo and Ferul thought there was a treasure. Thought... And will be their burial ground.
Or they'll be coming home with fully rich.
That's dark.
Hopefully. And she said we could either go through the jungle or through the mines. Basically, she just told us they're both equally terrible and
just
dangerous.
As bad, yeah.
I thought we decided jungle because we don't like being trapped in
caves. Mines are never good.
Me specifically.
I think that's the evil we know already is the jungle. We don't know what to expect in the mines.
Looking at the map... You guys followed the orange line that I have drawn on here. We'll put this on the website when we invent a website. The grung that gave you the markings of this snake on top of a pyramid gave you this indicator here, which was not super far south of Dungrunglung, but not as far away as Omu. You are pretty confident your destination is down here. This is what Sajin Abaza has revealed to you.
Yeah.
You could enter these mountains, the Kobold Mountains as they're known, and travel through the mines... through an underground passageway to the other end of the mountains and to Omu that way, or you could travel through the jungle, through this unknown area of mystery, the fog of war. She slithers back and shrinks away back into a normal snake form and disappears into the depths of the temple, leaving the exit wide open for you.
Snakes!
Why did it have to be snakes?
Why did it have to be snakes?
You exit the temple, you're at the top of the ziggurat, and you look down and you see... Actually, none of the obstacles that impeded your path remain. So the swarms of snakes have disappeared. The thorns that blocked your path are no longer in the way. You descend and you get down to the jungle floor and Rai is nowhere to be seen.
I start calling out for him. Rai!
The calls of birds and monkeys and the regular cacophony of the jungle greets you, but no response from Rai Van Osbon.
All right. I get Town to track the scent.
So I'll get her to roll a perception check.
10.
Because she's tracking his scent and not just his footprints or whatever, she's able to follow him. She picks up a path, heads out into the jungle, you guys following along behind. You're pushing through some dense brush, and eventually you come to a stream or a creek in the jungle. You can see a bunch of muddy footprints on the bank there. She starts to pace back and forth at the water's edge, not wanting to cross through it.
All right.
Because she's a cat.
Lee's going to just start wading in and look for tracks on the opposite side.
Okay. Is everybody going?
Sure.
Yeah.
So as you guys are wading into the water, you hear some rustling on the other side. And ahead of you, a tall, dark shape begins to move out of the jungle towards you. And it is vaguely half-elf shaped. It's got Rai's bandana, his shirt, his face. Well, most of his face.
Oh, my God.
No.
You see a stricken, pale, and bloodied Rai. His shirt soaked with red. The lower half of his jaw ripped off of him. His tongue dangles like some sort of writhing tentacle, and he stumbles into the water towards you. Roll initiative. Liana?
14.
Horik?
20.
Douglas?
Douglas got 6.
Cranston?
Cranston got 8.
Horik and Liana are about waist deep in the water right now. That makes it difficult terrain. Cranston, you are probably up to your knees in the water. Douglas, you can be there. Town is still on the bank because she didn't really want to go into the water, I don't think. And Zombie Rai is about to stumble into the river on the other side. Horik, you are first. What do you do?
Horik looks Zombie Rai in his glazed over eyes and says, "I'm sorry, brother." So he moves up.
Horik now adjacent to Zombie.
Draw my pickaxe and I take a swing at his knees. I'm hoping to, immobilize him rather than, totally destroy him.
Go ahead, give me the roll. Okay.
19.
You easily slam your pickaxe into the side of his thigh.
7 damage.
Okay. You give it a good slam in there. It stumbles a little bit. It reaches back with his arms trying to slam you to the ground. Crit.
Oh, no.
How many hit points do you have?
8.
You take 7 damage. So you're lucky today. And then, rustling from the bushes.
Oh, no.
You hear some more lumbering bodies stumbling through the brush.
Oh no!
3 more zombies appear, 2 of them stumbling right into the river, having enough movement to get right up next to Liana and Cranston. So that one's going to take a slam on Liana. Actually, you know what? No. He's going to grab you. Liana, opposed athletics check. You're going to roll either an athletics or an acrobatics to avoid this grab. Go ahead and roll that.
12.
You are grappled.
What can you do when you're grappled?
Your movement moves to zero, and on subsequent turns, the grapple can be made worse.
Do I still get full action, though?
You still have your actions. Your movement is zero until you escape.
Okay.
And you could spend an action to release the grapple. Next, we have Lee. It's your turn.
Oh, yay. I think I'm just going to stab. I'm going to take out my short swords and attempt to dismember it, or take off its arms. 22.
That hits.
9 damage.
9 damage.
And I'll attack with my other sword.
Okay.
10 to hit.
That does hit.
11 damage.
Very nice. That zombie looks very nearly incapacitated. You've shorn off one of its arms.
I'm going to have a cougar come over here, just off the bank of the water. And he's not going to go in. He's just kind of wait nearby me as close as he can.
Okay. Next we have Cranston.
What Cranston is going to do is, in a piratey fashion, slog his way across the river there.
Yeah.
And he is going to reach out a hand and cure light wounds on
Horik Jones.
Thank you, Cranston.
13 hit points back.
Nice.
Very nice.
And then I'll also tell you to get back in the fight and give you a bardic inspiration die.
Is that all for Cranston?
Yeah, that'll do.
Douglas.
That's lots.
Okay.
What do you want from me?
What else you got?
I want to find out if zombies can see.
Knowledge religion.
9.
Your guess is that they retain some of the senses that they had in life, but none of the intelligence.
Okay. Which is the one that almost is dead? This one here?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to do a ray of frost on that guy.
Okay.
11.
Hits.
3 damage.
All right. It falls under the water.
No longer grappled.
Yeah. It releases you and sinks under the water, presumably dead. Horik, it is your turn. Don't forget you're still poisoned.
Yeah.
You roll with disadvantage.
I was pretty sure I told you not to eat those berries. Just because you're hungry doesn't mean you go like looking for nightshade.
That's a fair point.
Hork's going to do the same thing. He's going to take his pickaxe and he's going to swing at the other knee.
Okay.
And see if he can incapacitate this.
Sure.
Excuse for Rye. It's not the Rye I know. 10.
10 hits.
7 damage.
Nice. You club with your pickaxe at the other leg, and he is stumbling, he's tripping up. You look like you've done a fair amount of damage to him.
I'm going to use my bonus action.
Yeah.
I'm going to use second wind and regain some HP.
Sounds good.
10.
Ooh, nice. That's pretty good, yeah. It's now the zombie's turn. Rai is going to attempt to slam Horik again. Missing. You managed to sidestep out of the way as it lunges at you.
Just like old times, you can't hit me, can you, Rye?
Just like old times. The zombie on the bank there, number one, is going to move in 5 feet towards you.
Me?
Yep, and then it slams you. Missing.
Good. Screw you.
The one that is beside Douglas is going to move up to Douglas. 20 to hit.
Wow.
This guy does 6 bludgeoning damage to Douglas.
Oh.
The fourth one, the one that Douglas took out with the ice ray last turn, dragged himself back out of the water. It is now Lee's turn.
Can I make a perception?
Yeah.
It went down, but I want to know why it came back up.
Roll a religion.
9.
It definitely looked like it was down. It looked like it was frozen, but it came back.
All right. I'm going to attack the head.
Okay.
Of number 4.
Sure.
Go for that guy again. I just need to drop one of these. Critical fail.
Well, that didn't work.
Nope.
Do you have more attacks?
Yeah. 12.
12 hits.
11 for the head.
11 damage?
Yep.
You manage to sink your blade into the shoulder. It starts to cleave in towards the spine, but then your blade stops. You manage to pull it back out. The zombie's still coming at you.
Cougar, save me! And Town jumps into the water.
All right, difficult terrain for her, so she managed to just get up there.
Okay, and Town is going to bite.
Yeah.
A 17.
Hits.
7 damage.
She bites the neck and snaps, and the zombie falls back under the water, and you're 99% sure that took it out. Cranston.
I'm going to see if back in my sailing days we encountered any, maybe sea zombies, and see if I know any information about them. Modified 2. What do I know about zombies?
Oh my god, this is the first zombie I've ever seen in my entire life. I wish my grandma told me more stories about zombies when I was a child.
I was just too scared.
I kept telling her, no, I'll never be an adventurer. It's too scary. So much for that.
Nana was right. I'm going to try it anyway, and I'm going to cast a sleep on the zombie Rai. If Rai has 33 or less hit points at this point, he falls asleep. No, I don't know if that works on zombies, so that was what I was trying to knowledge.
I don't think it does. Let me look up sleep really quick here, but
he doesn't know better.
undead and creatures immune to being charmed aren't affected by this spell. So don't try that on any elves either. I'll let you do something else.
Sure, thanks. Yeah,
you're welcome. I'm very generous.
I'll do everybody's old favorite, Thunderwave.
Okay.
Constitution saving throw, 14 to beat. And I'm just hitting Rye.
Just hitting Rye?
Yeah. 8 damage and pushed back 10 feet.
And on a successful save?
4 damage and not pushed back.
Okay. Rye saves on the saving throw, so he takes his 4 damage. Staggered back a little bit, but still standing. Okay. Douglas. Toe-to-toe with a zombie in the shallows.
Yeah, well, since I assume that zombies can in fact see, I'm going to cast Blur on myself.
Okay, give us a quick primer on the effects of Blur.
Enemies have disadvantage on attacks versus you, no effects against creatures without vision or immune to illusion.
Okay, next we have Horik.
Horik is going to take a swing with his flail at Rai's chest.
Yep.
Try to knock him over.
Sure.
11.
Hits.
9 damage.
Okay, that takes Rye down.
You killed him!
Slams to the ground. Your flail actually swung up a little bit on the upswing and connected with the side of his head, crushing the skull in. You see the brain pan, like, compact. The other two zombies are going to take their turn.
Oh, no!
So the one beside Leanna is going to do another slam.
No!
This is a 17 to hit.
Yep, that hits.
You're going to take 6 points of bludgeoning damage.
Whatever, dog. I got temporary hit points.
Douglas, the one on you, also slams. 12 to hit, so it hits you.
Yeah.
You only take 2 damage. Lee.
As I bring up my swords, I'm like, Lee! And then I swing. 15 to hit.
Hits.
6 damage.
6 damage on that one. Okay.
Swing again.
Okay.
17 to hit. And 9 damage.
Okay. Nice, nicely done.
Town leaps forward.
Because of the depth of the water, I'm going to give town disadvantage on this attack.
That's still at least 20.
Yeah.
5 damage.
Okay. The zombie that you have over there is very close. Town had a good grip on its neck, but had to release Cranston.
Cranston is going to fire his crossbow at number 1 there.
Yeah.
Try to hopefully finish the job here.
Okay.
A 7.
That is the only miss so far this combat.
Yep.
Anything else?
I'll give Leanne a bardic inspiration die.
Douglas.
I'm going to do comprehend languages and grab my guy and start trying to ask him what's going on. Who sent you? Who killed Rye? That's no answer.
It was no answer. Horik, your turn.
Horik's going to pop over to zombie number 1 here. He's kind of pissed about how things have gone with his buddy Rye. And just flail right to the face.
Do it.
11 to hit.
Hits.
8 damage.
You slam this one with the flail so hard it flies back onto the bank, collapsing dead. The last zombie mindlessly attacks Douglas. Yeah, misses.
Yeah, biatch.
Lee, your turn.
All right, I'm just going to attack.
Yeah.
20-something to hit.
Hits.
I'm going to use the bardic inspiration on the attack.
Yeah.
9 damage, and then I'm going to swing again.
Yeah.
That one hits as well.
Yep.
7 damage.
All right.
And Town is going to get up in here.
The cougar pounces in.
Town!
He's in shallower water now, so this can be a regular attack.
13 to hit.
13 hits.
5 damage.
All right. He's still up. Cranston.
You know what to do.
Shoot my crossbow. 23.
That hits.
5 damage.
And it falls into the water. Dead. You were all in the water. You have several dead zombie bodies around you, one of them with the striking appearance of a former friend.
Right.
All right. Lee's going to climb up the shore.
Yeah, I'm going to cross the water as well.
And approach Rye's body.
There it is. It's a horrific sight. You can see up close to it that his lower jaw has been forcibly ripped. There's tear marks on his face.
I look for the killing blow.
Pooling of blood. The killing blow?
Yeah, I'm curious what did him in.
Make a medicine check.
19 medicine.
Lee knows from examining the body. She's poking around, she's lifting back some of the clothing, seeing what kind of trauma the body has sustained. And you can see that his torso, in addition to multiple stab wounds, has been crushed.
Oh, God.
And you can see some of his ribs protruding through the skin as if it was crushed and then ribs split out.
Oh.
Can I do some sort of arcana? I mean, I know this has to be necromancy, but
yeah.
Maybe I can find out.
Make an arcana check.
Yeah, more information. 15 arcana.
Okay. You know that in the necromancy school, there are several spells that could be used to raise the dead as hollow imitations of their former selves.
Mm-hmm.
Likely, this is one of those spells. He came back without intelligence, without a semblance of strategy or capability aside from just the pure drive for feeding. Probably it was a more minor necromancy spell right. that would be used to animate the dead. Some sort of animate dead spell.
Yeah.
Lee, as you're rooting around through the body to examine what caused his death, you find an envelope tucked into his shirt pocket.
I take it.
The envelope, drenched partially in blood, is sealed with a wax stamp of a dog's paw. You crack it open. You find a letter.
To my dear Cranston, Douglas, Horrock, and Lee, I write to inform you of my sincere regret at the passing of our mutual friend, Riven Osborne. He was snooping, and we all know what the pup that sniffs about the boots of the master during dinner time is likely to be kicked. Masterpiece and I continue on our way, and we are delighted to hear that Dog's merry crew follows a similar path to our own. Did Zanaga tell you what you needed to hear? Were you smart enough to see the hidden truths? Can you smell the power at our fingertips, lying just beneath the jungle floor? Perhaps if we meet again, you can be of some service to me. Until the sun sets, Kosef Horklaw and the Masterpiece.
And you see a ink stamp of both his signature and the dog's paw once again.
I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him so good.
He may expect a little too much of us if he thought we read anything into what the snake goddess told
Why
us.
Why would he have small talk in the letter saying, sorry, I killed your friend? This guy's such a douchebag.
Because he's
a piece of shit.
Thinks we're friends after that one meeting, I guess.
Oh, yeah, I'll just kill your friend. We're still buddies.
Generally, and it's not the most well-adjusted people that delve deep into necromancy.
True that. They're usually way off the hinge there.
Probably headed the same direction as him.
It seems like it.
I think first we should see to a proper burial for Rye.
Yeah.
Probably fire. I don't want anyone like messing with his body.
I think he'd probably agree.
All right. I start gathering some firewood.
Okay.
And start making a pyre.
You manage to get that taken care of in just a few minutes, and the fire begins. You burn the body of Rye and
Preston, would you play some music?
Certainly. As he's sailing off, I say a few final words and I say, Rye, you never filled the sails. And then we move on.
Goodbye, Rye. I'm going to gather some of the ashes and sprinkle it in the river.
Yeah.
I hope it goes back to the sea where he belongs.
You guys continue. You're going to have to go through the jungle here for a little bit at least until you make your final decision about whether to take the mines or the jungle route. You still have some daylight left today. You begin moving south through the jungle. Who is going to be navigating your way?
I mean, Cranston's been adventuring for a long time. He knows his way around a little bit. Cranston licks his finger and holds it up in the air to sense the direction of the wind or whatever and gets a 15.
All right, so you begin heading south and you're fairly confident in your direction.
Cool.
The terrain that you're traveling through, still some dense jungle, and the day begins to move on. You definitely have short rest here.
If we take an extra 10 minutes here, we can get those temporary hit points back.
You pretty much would have had that time you were dealing with Rye's body.
To 8 temp.
Sick. Yep.
Cool. We carry on.
So you guys are traveling back through the jungle further south. Lee, tell me about your condition. How are you dealing with the constant wet? How does the jungle, the loss of Rye and Hacksail, the curse, differ from Lee's original idea of adventure all those years ago?
Lee's more emotionally drained than physically. She's kind of used to the grind of adventuring and all that, so the actual physical toll isn't much. But this is way more emotionally draining than she expected. She didn't think she'd lose so many of her friends off the bat, and they're already down 2 people, and she feels like they haven't really accomplished much yet.
That totally makes sense. You're still in the jungle. You aren't even at the place where this curse supposedly originated.
Yeah, I feel like we just got to the point where now we know kind of what we have to do.
Right. Still with Lee, the canopy where you're walking right now is really dense. And even though it's the middle of the day, shadows dance on either side of the path before you. The way the plants grow here, your vision ahead and behind you is kind of obscured. You think you see something flash past in the corner of your eye, but it might have been nothing. Give me a perception check.
15.
You're not sure. There was probably movement, but you can't tell what it was. It there, wasn't it? Was it something following you? You're not sure.
I might just be tired.
You guys manage to make the rest of the day. You bed down, do your resting. There's one full elf among you, so he only needs to rest for 4 hours technically. How are you guys splitting up the other 4 hours or 5 hours of watch time?
Not that I'm not emotionally damaged by this, but like the least out of everyone, I volunteer to take watch over so everyone can rest.
Sure, sure. That sounds good.
Makes sense to me.
The nighttime passes without event. Cranston, the next day, you're walking through the forest. You're trudging along. Of course, you're the navigator, so give me another navigation roll.
I 16.
Cresson, you're still very confident of where you're traveling.
This way, fellas.
Cresson, another of your friends have perished. Another in a long...
I thought you meant another one. Like, Horik just died in his sleep.
Natural causes.
When he said no event, he just meant no monsters.
No monsters.
His heart just gave out.
Too many cheeseburgers. So, Cranston, another one of your friends, Rye, has perished. Another in a long line of tragedies that have befallen you. You always felt that you've been the victim of your own curse. How is that affecting you now? Do you feel responsible in any way for the situation the group's in?
Because you should.
Rye made his decision. Cranston regrets that decision, but Rye made it. It does feel like just yesterday, Cranston was, it was last session, that might have been yesterday, saying that he felt responsible for this crew's safety, and I guess he wasn't paying enough attention.
Do you feel like if you had been a more fierce leader, or a more of a captain in this situation, it wouldn't have happened?
Rye needed more attention, yeah. He couldn't be left to his own devices. But if you notice anything about Cranston this morning, it's that he seems to be on high alert. He's lost one crew before, and he doesn't plan on losing another one.
Speaking of high alert, as you're walking along through the jungle, you have this deafening crunch of leaves under your own feet with every step. Your companions as well, trudging through the jungle, are not necessarily the most silent, but you stop to take a sip from your water skin, and you think you hear crunching leaves coming from down the hill to your right. Make a survival check.
A 6.
You take a couple steps off the path to see if you can get a better view, and a couple of vines swing wildly from a nearby tree, but you see nothing else. You see no indication of what caused them to move. It's a little unsettling to you.
As if something was swinging on them and then they're just kind of hanging loose now?
Or something caused them to drop or cut or something like that.
Can I investigate further, or is that all I see?
You're welcome to take a look at whatever you want.
All right, well, I inform my colleagues of sense movement.
I take out my longbow.
I'll try to kind of sneak up on that area and take a closer look, see if I can find out what's going on.
I'm going to do a perception check.
Sure. We'll do Lee's perception first.
Yeah.
14.
You don't detect any movement aside from sort of the natural action of the jungle. There's birds, there's monkeys in the treetops and stuff like that. But
was it
you
monkeys?
You don't see anything that caused you any direct harm anyways. You're trying to stealth over to where you saw the
action there? Yeah, I just want to get closer to get a closer look without hopefully being spotted by whatever it was.
Okay, roll stealth.
25.
Very nice. You step from bush to bush, peeking out from behind the foliage. You manage to soften your footfalls as you slowly and quietly step forward, and you get to the vines that you saw were swinging, and you can see, inspecting the ends of them, they appear to have been cut by some sort of rough-edged blade, or maybe even a claw. And then there's a rustle and a flash beside you as a baboon runs out of the bushes and up the nearest tree. It climbs the trunk, runs out into the branches, and leaps away. Your heart might have skipped a beat as it jumped out, but apparently it held no danger for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, if I don't find anything else, we just have to get back on track, but make sure we're remaining vigilant.
And keep eye out for baboons.
Yeah.
Second night away from Orolunga. Who's going to take the watch tonight?
Like usual, I'll take the half watch or whatever.
Okay. Make a perception check.
Uh-oh. 17.
You don't see anything on your watch, but you do hear the crunching and shifting of foliage. And you would say that it definitely sounds like there's something circling your camp, but has not approached closer.
All right, I lean down and I touch the shoulders of everyone here, just to rustle them up and alert them.
Okay, you guys all awaken. What kind of precautions are you guys taking?
I'm going to toss more logs on the fire and make it brighter. Okay. That way we can see deeper in.
Sure. Anybody else? Anything in particular? Or are you just keeping an eye out?
No, I just post up, crossbow in hand.
Okay.
I got my longbow out.
Okay.
I'm looking around.
All right. 1 hour passes. Nothing. A second hour passes. Nothing. You guys are all staying awake? Going back to sleep?
I'm probably falling back asleep.
Douglas falling back asleep.
I stayed up the night before, so...
Hork is on edge. He can't sleep.
Okay. Cranston.
We can take turns again.
Yep. Wake me up if you need me.
Cranston goes to take the second watch. Cranston, do a perception check.
8.
The rest of the night, as far as you can tell from your watch, passes without event. You don't hear the movement in the jungle, aside from nocturnal frogs and whatnot, but... because they would, you know, set off your alarm. Yeah, you guys wake up the next morning. Horik is much worse for wear. A little bit groggy, but your poison condition has worn off.
Douglas, as you guys are traveling along the next day, you're thinking about this crew. You're thinking about how they're a little bit more on edge. They're staying up all night. They're worried about what's in the jungle. Mm-hmm. You spent a couple of weeks with them. And probably at this point, you're kind of debating what the heck you're doing with them. You know, you've got plenty of reasons to complain about them, I'm sure. But what is an endearing trait of your companions that Douglas is clinging to? That maybe that one thing that he's willing to give them the continuing chance.
They're still, in the end, like, have good, like, stories, and they like to hear stories. Like, I like to hear about their ship stories, because that's something I've never really experienced other than to get here. And they at least put up with my great uncle's stories.
Totally. So you appreciate the oral tradition.
Definitely.
Did I ever tell you about that time that Rai saved me when a barrel was falling on me on the ship?
Oh, no. Please tell me about it.
Just listen to the intro.
That's what happened. Yeah, totally. That's a good reason.
Yeah.
On this, the third day since Oralunga, you come to a break in the green and find a redolent glade full of brightly colored flowers. Some of the blooms are about as large as your head. The air here is thick with the smell of sweet pollen. There's honey. There's that fresh smell that is a much appreciated break from the sort of musty, moldy smell of the jungle. But suddenly you catch a whiff of something else, something sort of off, and you can't quite place it. Give me an insight check.
Douglas gets 5 on that.
It's a weird sort of rotten smell, maybe kind of coppery, but yeah, you're just not sure. You guys continue on. And that night you once again settle down for rest. Who's making the watch tonight?
Half and half, baby.
I'll do a second half.
Okay. Lee, go ahead and roll your perception check for your watch.
12.
Nothing seems to be out there tonight.
Cool.
Douglas, roll your perception check for your half.
18.
You detect nothing on your half. Next day, Horik, you're finally starting to feel better from those berries. You're finally managed to shrug that off.
I feel like my old self again.
But even though you feel physically like your old self again, I think maybe some emotions are wearing it. I'm wondering anyways. You were the navigator for the High
Havoc. I don't
quite
feel like me old self yet.
Just flip-flopping.
Horik's bipolar. Horik flip-floppity Jones.
So you were the navigator for the High Havoc. That was a privileged position. By all means, you were an officer. But out here in the jungle, you're maybe a little bit out of your element. You're essentially demoted. Your specialty, mental specialty anyways, not being put to use. Maybe you're getting treated as the pack mule of the group. The muscle.
I'm loyal to my captain. And that's all that matters.
Okay, and so Darg sent you out here, and you're going to do what Darg...
And I'm going to do what Darg sent me out here for.
A man of honor. Hork, you lean down to tighten the straps on your backpack, and suddenly you realize that you don't hear the birds anymore.
That's always a bad sign.
You kind of freeze up when you realize this. Make a stealth check.
22.
You freeze up. Your eyes and ears are perked. You're trying to make as little motion, be as invisible as you possibly can be. And after a few moments, the uncanny stillness fades. You hear a distant chirping and clicking. Some of the branches rustle above you, and you see a troop of monkeys swing closer. Another few moments, and the bird song returns in full force. You let out a tense breath. Whew. You guys travel for another couple of days, and this tension is like an overhanging cloud over top of you. And every once in a while, you have another one of these strange episodes where movement in the jungle stops, or sound stops, or you hear something that's, but you can't trace it, or you see something, but you can't tell what it is. And it's always at the edge of your vision. And then late on the sixth day of travel going south, you come to a ridge that overlooks a deep ravine, the walls of which are lined with row upon row of brilliantly colored coral, like a rainbow. So jungle at your back, big ravine, at least 150 feet down.
Does that put us on the map?
It puts you at Ataz Kahakla. So overlooking this ravine, pretty sure that Cranston was leading you well, and you've hit the River Tath. Somebody give me a nature check.
23.
All this coral on the ravine here, all this like ocean life, tells you that probably at one time, the ocean downriver must have flooded into this canyon, probably for a period of hundreds or not thousands of years. Maybe volcanic activity caused it to shift, leaving the coral behind, maybe some other drastic event, but this is definitely ocean plant life. And with a closer look, you can tell that the coral is dead, but has retained this like lustrous rainbowy color. Some of the corals are blue, some of them are yellow, some of them are red, but definitely creates a jagged and sharp surface all the way down to the river below. Someone else can give me a perception.
14.
Mixed in the coral, Cranston sees the intact skeletons of many huge and gargantuan creatures. There's a giant long-necked reptilian, probably some other kind of aquatic dinosaur, giant sharks, and huge turtle shell husks.
Crazy.
Yeah, so...
That means they didn't get out. They weren't able to, like, get out quick enough.
They
like,
died
It, like, was an instant kind of thing.
It just, the water just disappeared, basically.
Yeah, like, it receded so fast that they couldn't actually, like, keep up and get away.
Yeah.
Right now, you're about 150 feet above that canyon floor. The sun is setting. You know you need to cross the canyon somehow, but you set up camp and begin to brainstorm, maybe. Are you going to go around it? Are you going to go down it? Are you going to cross it somehow? You know that your path lies on the other side of this canyon, but it's too dangerous to do it in the dark.
What do you guys want to do?
Set up camp over the ridge and then just wait to go down in the morning.
You want to go down and then back up?
How treacherous does it look?
Probably take us a day to get down and a day to get up, right? Like
it's... As long as nothing bad happens, yeah.
Kind of want to see that coral, though, too.
Is there any kind of close enough to the lip of the ridge that I could shave off a little coral or something?
Yeah, you could probably reach out and pluck something, maybe.
Just a small
piece. Maybe there's a part of the cliff that is not quite as steep.
Yeah, it seems like it might be something valuable. This is one of the reasons we came to this God's forsaken island in the first place, was to get some treasure, so.
Peninsula. So yeah, you take cup coral. You guys make camp tonight. Who is taking watches and in what order?
Yeah, Lee's on it.
First or second?
First.
Hork will take second.
Okay. So, Lee, make your perception roll.
15.
You're there, looking over the canyon, watching the light from the stars and the light from your fire reflect off of the rainbow coral. And you're also keeping an eye on the jungle behind you. And the tiny flames of your little campfire cause the shadows beyond to dance. You can't see much other than the foliage of the jungle beyond, but you begin to feel eyes upon you. Then, in a streaking blur, like a volley of arrows launched from cover, a flood of tiny brown and green creatures streak out from the foliage, swarming over your camp. They are velociraptors. They will get a surprise round.
All right, I'm going to do this as stealthily as possible.
Lee, give me an
initiative. Because if I can kill all of them by myself and you guys awake to like a dozen impressive velociraptors.
That would be fucking badass.
It's your watch.
That's great.
Okay, give me your initiative, Lee.
12.
Streaking out from the jungle, 8 velociraptors begin to leap all over Lee and town. First one.
It's about to get real.
17 to hit.
Yep.
And 13 to hit.
Miss.
You will take 3 piercing damage from a bite. Second velociraptor, a 17 to hit with a bite, and a 17 to hit with claws.
Yes.
You take 3 damage and 5 damage. And then the third velociraptor, over 20.
Yep.
Over 20 again. You are bit repeatedly by these creatures, so you're going to take 7 piercing damage from a bite and 5 piercing damage from a claw. And then Town. Poor Town. He's not going to get left out. Town is going to take just a bite for 6 damage. And then the second velociraptor, another 7 damage to Town.
Okay.
Give me your initiatives.
Douglas gets 14.
Branson's on a 9.
Hork gets a 20.
Lee, your turn. You've raised the alarm. Everybody's now rousing from their beds. It is still your turn. You have your actions.
Lee needs to step back. Can Lee attempt to do an acrobatics over the fire?
Onto Horik.
It's small enough that I'll let you move over it. However, you're so surrounded by velociraptors right now that if you just charge away without doing the disengage action or dodge action, they're going to get a bunch of free attacks on you.
Okay, I'm going to dodge.
Yep.
Back and over here.
Only one of them managed to get a little nip in for 6 damage.
I'm going to do the same for Town.
Okay. I crit for 10 piercing damage from one of them, and the other one, 5 damage.
Okay, Town drops.
Okay, throw him prone right in front of those velociraptors. Horik.
I stand up, I pull up my pickaxe, and I take a swing at this velociraptor labeled 2.
All right.
15 to hit.
Hits.
5 damage.
Very nice. You give it a good chip on the shoulder, and it squeals in pain. Douglas.
I'm going to get up, too.
And there's a velociraptor right at your feet.
Like I do every morning, I decide to cast Cloud of Daggers.
Okay, so he'll take damage on the start of his turn.
Yeah.
All right, Lee.
Lee is going to circle this way and fire a longbow. 28.
Okay.
6 damage.
That one falls dead. Arrow in the eye. Cranston.
Cranston gets out his horn, and with a mighty toot, I cast Shatter.
How many will that hit?
Everybody.
That'll hit all of them.
10-foot sphere.
It'll miss the one on the end. So you'll hit 6 of them. That's still pretty good.
It's a constitution saving throw for half damage.
Okay, tell me how much damage it is, and then I'll roll it.
19.
That one dies. The one closest to me dies. And number 5. So now I have 4 velociraptors left.
Yeah, I'm going to throw a bardic inspiration on Horik because he's probably about to get swarmed.
It is now the velociraptor's turn. These two that are still in front of Town going to bite. Another 6 damage on Town. That's going to be 1 fail on the death saving throw added. And then what is the total hit points that Town is at?
-7.
And what's her maximum hit points?
16.
So if she gets to negative 16, she's dead. With that bite, the raptors retreat back into the forest.
I'll kill all of you!
Cranston runs over to town and drops a healing spell. 17 hit points.
Okay, town's back to full.
But is now covered with bite scars.
Town, don't worry, you just look even cooler than you did before.
You guys spend the rest of the night nursing town back to health and warily watching the jungle. Then when the sun rises in the east, after a little while, shining its bright rays through the misty clouds into the rainbow coral canyon, you are greeted with a beautiful sight. In the jungle, you hear... See you in 2 weeks. The music in this episode was produced by Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com and is licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0.
Sean!